you, Doug, and we appreciate all of you that are here this morning. It is a wonderful day, and it is the Father's Day, by the way. And I would tell you that every day is our Father's Day. How thankful and grateful we are to be in the house of God this morning, honoring and praising our Lord and our God. And if you're visiting with us, we do thank all of you for coming. And Chris, it is good to have you in our audience today, cousin, and from San Antonio, and we appreciate him. And all of you that have come, Mark, good to have your family here with Bob and Mary, and also many, many others. So we are certainly gratified by your coming, and we thank you all for making the effort to be here this morning in our house of worship. I want to talk to you today a little bit about the Father. I'll talk to you about our Heavenly Father, but also our earthly fathers. You know, it is a wonderful thing when people can gather and gather with Father and actually praise and offer our gratitude to Him for all that He has done for us here in this world as well. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, something that every father should know. You know, I really believe that there are many things within the Holy Scripture that God really wants us to know. Certainly wants us to know all of it. But there are things that we ascertain from the reading of the Scripture that really apply specifically to certain folks. And we know that according to the Bible, that the earthly father has a tremendous responsibility before God. And I hope that all of us are fulfilling that responsibility as well. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, that 22 rather, to train up a child in the way he shall go, and then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It is incumbent upon fathers to teach and train their children, and to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, to make sure that our children are right with the Almighty. Now, I know we can't always do that. We make that effort. But we know that when children reach that point in life where they're adults, they have to make decisions that are based upon the intellect and the instruction that they have been given by their mom and dad here in this world. But I do know that while they're young, we have an awesome responsibility placed upon us before God, as this scripture says, to train up a child, not an adult. You start training a child when they're very young. You start bringing them to the house of worship. You take them to Bible classes. You sit down and you read from the pages of God's eternal word with them. And I believe, as I said, in reading the Bible, there are five specific ways to train your children. And it is something that every father ought to know. There are special ways that God has given us as fathers to rear and to teach our children. I would tell you foremost, and number one, it is to love your children in the way that they should go. You know, the Bible says to train up a child in the way she'll go. And one of the ways that we train them is by loving them in the direction that we want them to take. We actually show them God. We introduce them to God. A child doesn't come into the world with a knowledge of God, but we have to imbibe and we have to teach them about our Father who is in heaven. Love your children. You know, tragically, some children never hear that from their father. Son, I love thee, or daughter, I love thee. But it is something that they ought to hear every day. I tell my children I love them probably more often than I should. But I want my children to know that I love them. I want my grandchildren to know that I love them. And it's not just words. You know, many of us use words, and words serve as a vehicle to help us convey messages. But at the same time, it shouldn't just be a message. It should be something that stems from the heart. You know, sometimes hearts are calloused. I was reading the other day, actually, a little humorous story about a man who rushed into the ER after suffering a heart attack. Maybe some of you have had that happen. Well, the doctor told him that he would not survive without a heart transplant, and he had to do it right away. Well, another doctor runs into the room and says, "Good news." He says, "We have two hearts just became available. So you get to choose which one you want." He said, "One belongs to an attorney and the other one belongs to a social worker." Well, the patient immediately responds, "I want the attorney's heart." And the doctor said, "Hang on. Don't you want to know a little bit about them before you make that decision?" And anyway, the patient said, "I already know enough." He said, "We all know that social workers' hearts are what we call bleeding hearts, and the attorney probably has never used his, so I'll take the attorney's." Well, you probably have known of situations like that in life. Well, isn't it wonderful to know that when God gives us a new heart, it is without flaw? And in the book of Psalms 51, David said, "Create within me a new heart, O God, and then will I teach the transgressor of thy way." You know, I'm thankful that God is a God who loves us with all of his heart. You know, Jesus was asked the question one time, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" And he said, "It is this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your spirit, everything within you." But isn't it interesting to know that God loves us in that fashion as well? He gave his son to die upon a cross. There is no greater love than one would die for another. And Jesus went to the cross, shed his blood that we might feel his love and know his love. If it is to love God with all of your heart, then we must love one another in the same way. Now, I know that's true because Jesus said the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, your children can be your neighbors. Your children, your grandchildren, your friends, church members, people that you know are your neighbors. And we are to love them as well. And I'll say it again, love God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Everything that is about you, show God you love him. Show your children that you love them. When was the last time you hugged your children? You know, some children never get a hug. Hug your children. That's one means of saying, "I love you." You hug them. You embrace them. You kiss them. You kiss your children. I heard a story the other day about a kiss, believe it or not. After World War II, we've been talking about that in recent weeks, a general and his young lieutenant boarded a train in England. The only seats left were across from a beautiful young lady and her grandmother. Now, this story really is all about assumption, what we assume, and how we can make the wrong assumption. The general and the lieutenant say, "Facing the women," or they start facing. As the train pulled out of sight, it went through a long tunnel, and for about 10 seconds, there was total darkness. In the silence of the moment, on the train, they heard two things, a kiss and a slap. Everyone on the train had his or her own perception of what happened. The young lady thought to herself, "I'm flattered that the lieutenant kissed me, but I'm terribly embarrassed that grandmother slapped him." The grandmother thought, "I'm aggravated that the young man kissed my beautiful granddaughter, but I am proud that she had the courage to retaliate." The general sat there thinking to himself, "My lieutenant showed a lot of guts kissing that girl, but why did she make the mistake of slapping me. The lieutenant was the only one on the train who actually knew what happened. In that brief moment of darkness, he had the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his general. Be careful of your perception of what goes on in life. But kiss your children, kiss your grandchildren. Let them know that you love them. A kiss is a sign of affection, isn't it? Surely it is. It is. That's why in ancient times it wasn't uncommon for perhaps maybe someone to go up to another and kiss them on the cheek. You see, politicians do that all the time, but I figured that one out. But it happens, doesn't it? Even the Bible in the book of Romans 16:16 says that we're to greet one another with a holy kiss. Act like you love your children. Show them that you love them. Don't just hug them, don't just kiss them, but act like you love them and show them by what you do. And give them, number four, your time. How much time do you give your children? How much time do you give your grandchildren? Truth or known, you probably give your grandchildren more time than you gave your children. But I know one thing, that we need the time. You know, time is such a precious commodity, isn't it? It is. Precious. Because your time is your life. You've heard the old adage about the dash in between when you were born and when you die. That dash represents your life. It represents your time. It represents who you are. And so you give your family your time. It is something that you can give them that no one else can give them. Your time. And make sure you do it. Tell them how much you love them. It's so important. Fathers should say, I love my son with all of my heart. I love my daughter. She's one of the most beautiful gifts that God has given unto me. And lead your children to love. There's so much hatred in our world. There's so much animosity in our world. There's so much demeaning. Fractions. Hatred. Resentment. Get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it is teach them how to get rid of it. Teach them to love in spite. And isn't that really what God did for us in Romans 5 and 8? That God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly in spite of who we are. And we should let our children lead us. Now, you may say, well, that's really counter to what the Bible teaches. No, it's not. It's not counter to what the Bible actually teaches, for Isaiah 11, verse 6 says that a little child shall lead them. You know, children lead in a lot of ways. They lead in terms of love. They can teach you about love. They can teach you about patience. They can teach you about kindness. And sometimes little children can teach you about God, things you don't even know about your Father who is in heaven. But what are your children learning from you? You lead by example, but you also love by example as well. There's a second thing that fathers need to know and need to practice, and that is to discipline your children. People don't like that word discipline. We don't even like self-discipline. We don't like the idea of having to run herd or discipline anyone. And yet the Bible says if you love your children, you will discipline them according to the word of Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him will chasten him betimes. There are times when, listen, when corporal punishment is needed, when children do not obey, and when they resent and resist correction, then there comes the time for discipline. And really, it comes before that. It's not the best way to discipline your children, by hollering at them. Sometimes people feel like that if they holler at their children, they can get their attention. You know, for a long time, I used to holler at Hispanics. Now, the reason I did that, and I don't know why y'all are sitting there like you've never done this, for some reason or another, I felt like that if I couldn't speak Spanish, if I could just talk a little bit louder, they would get it. For some reason or another, but they didn't get it. And so I say, yo no habla español. By the way, that's not an unknown tongue. That means I can't speak Spanish. But you don't holler at your children. Speak to your children as if they are the wisest, kindest, most beautiful, and magical humans on this earth. For what they believe is what they become. Do you realize that you and I are the product of our thoughts? And if we have been taught that we are dumb, we are out of it, you know what you'll grow up to become? Dumb. Thoughtless. Love and discipline go hand in hand. That's why you teach them to love. Point them in the right direction. And then you discipline. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive him far from it. That's why it's important. And children will not remember the material things that you provide for them. How many of you in here remember what you got last Christmas? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody. Not even my wife. Nobody remembers what you got last Christmas, but they will remember the love that you showed them. You know what they remember most about home? Was love. Love. And the things that you did to make them feel cherished. Love and discipline. Love and discipline. You know what amazes me sometimes when you see people together, you know, you see a man, you see a woman, and you wonder how in the world did they get together? A man said to his wife one time, he said, I just can't figure it out why God would make you so beautiful and yet at the same time make you so stupid. And the wife said to her husband, oh, that's easy to figure out. God made me so beautiful that you would ask me to marry you and made me so stupid that I would agree. We must manifest love wherever we go. There are many ways to discipline your child. As I said, sometimes parents have to say no. Kids don't like to hear the word no. Not just kids. I mean, everybody. Nobody likes to hear the word no. But sometimes God says no to us. He said no to his own son when Jesus prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup of death pass from me. And God said no, N-O. When other means of punishment and discipline do not work, other measures must be taken. And that doesn't mean you're a bad parent. In reality, it means that you are a loving parent. It means that you are a good parent. When you discipline that child, you're showing that child the right way. The child may not grasp it. But I can tell you one thing for sure. Any parent who disciplines his child is a loving parent. That brings us to number three. And that is we must lead them by example. Okay? Lead them by example. I can't emphasize that enough. That is so important. Don't do as I say, do as I do. Our world needs Christian fathers who will be a role model for his children, who will teach them, as I said, point them in the direction of love, and then use discipline. Children do not follow the example of their father. It should encourage you to make sure that your example is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure. When they don't follow you, there's some reason for their not following you. You've heard the old adage, like father, like son. And it's so true, isn't it? You can't expect them to go to worship God all their life when a father worships haphazardly. That's true, folks. You know why many of you are faithful? I mean, you're my age or a little bit younger maybe or some older. You know the reason you go to worship today is because you went there when you were young. You were taught as a child. You were trained to go. And you were trained in the right way. You cannot expect your children to be any better than the example that is set before them. If you drink and you were given to alcohol, and if alcohol is so wonderful, why are people trying to kick the habit? People spend hours trying to justify the drinking of alcoholic beverages that impair the rationality of our minds. If you smoke and you do drugs, what can you expect of your children? If you go around using profanity all the time, what do you expect your child to use? Do you think his language is going to be punctuated with profane words? Yes. It is true. That's why we have to lead in the right way. Fourthly, we need to educate them according to God's holy word. Teach our children. Teach them about God. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses said that when you're with your children, when you walk with them every day, wherever you are, teach them about God. When you lie down with them at night, you teach them about God. And let the word of God be as frontlets or glasses before their eyes, where they see and they meditate on the word. David said, "Your word is the meditation of my heart all day long." So we have to educate our children to know the will of God and not guess about it, but to know it, to know the word. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. And even though it may be part of the Old Testament teaching, I'm telling you, the principle is still there for us today. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why Christ said it's the first commandment. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. You know what David did? David said, "Your word have I hid." Hey, Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And thou shalt teach them, notice this, diligently to thy children. That's important, folks. And thou shalt talk of them when you sit down in your house. And when you walk us by the way, and when you lie us down, and when you rise up, you tell them about God. Let me tell you, the worst thing you can do is don't teach them about God. You want your children to grow up to be hoodlums? You want your children to grow up without knowing God, and I mean really knowing God? And you keep them away from church functions. You keep them away from fellowship. You keep them away from children's Bible hour. You keep them away. But you want them to grow up to be God-fearing young men and women. It will be by the example that we set. For Moses said, "And you shall bind the word around them for signs upon your hand, And they shall be as frontless before your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The father must be a hero. He must be a teacher, a leader, not just a friend. And the public school can only do so much. We got a big issue going on in the state of Texas right now. We're going to vote on this coming fall. And that is whether we give vouchers to parents with young children to allow them to go to a Christian school, or whether they go to public school. And I know all the issues. I've heard the debates. A lot of them say, well, it will kill public education if we do that. And you make your own decision about it. I've made mine. It's not the public school's job anyway to teach the Bible. It's your responsibility as a parent to teach your children about God. Sometimes we're so selfish. There was a father one time who was preparing pancakes for his sons. Actually, Kevin was 5 and Ryan was 3. And the boys began to argue over who was going to get the first pancake. And the father saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. He said, boys, he said, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. You know, we got a lot of people in our world that are so selfish. We got a lot of fathers that are so selfish. And what we're doing by our selfishness is teaching our children to be selfish as well. We must teach them the commandments of God. Are they important? Absolutely important. And we must teach them, folks. And we must teach them that first commandment with promise. And the Bible says that when we obey that, that our days may be long on the face of the earth. And if you have a father that taught you about God, you say, God, thank you. Thank you. For to teach is to touch a life forever. I helped in a vacation Bible school here many, many years ago when I first came to Palestine. There was a young girl that came up to me not long ago. I say young, she's in her 50s. And she said, you know, said, I remember, and it wasn't this congregation, it was another congregation that was having the VBS. She said, I remember years ago when you came to our congregation and you taught us about God. And she said, I remembered so well that lesson stayed with me today. I don't know what the lesson was, but I'm glad that it had an impact upon their life. For to teach a child is to touch a life forever. Fifthly, and last of all, we must teach them to pray. Teach them to pray. Not let it just be words, but I mean pray. Get down gut level with God and pray unto God. You set the example before your children. You want them to call on God? Teach them to do it. Job prayed for his children every day. Isn't that one of the most astounding things? To preserve that in Holy Writ, and the Bible does, that Job prayed for him every day. Are we praying for our children? Do they see you pray for your children and your grandchildren? Pray for your children day and night. Pray a wall of protection about them. Say, God, bless my children, bless my grandchildren. Place your wall of protection around them. That's what Job did. And he taught them to watch and pray. Pray that they will learn to love God and obey Him. For the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, listen to this, avails much. Not little, but much. James 5 and verse 16. And then they grow up and they're gone. They're only in your care for just a short period of time. Isn't it amazing that the mid-June is here already? This year's half over. Seems like we just started. And it's half over. Listen. Your life is passing you by. Your children's life is passing you by. Yours for a short time only. I've told you about the sign I saw along the highway. It had children and with their father, and it had the caption that said, "Yours for a limited time only." And you know what? That's the way life is, isn't it? Just for a limited time only. And then it is gone. And you either live with regret, or you live with happiness in your heart, knowing that you did what God had asked you to do. True love lasts forever. We should say to our fathers, thank you for being a great dad to us. And your memories will always live at the core of my heart. I can say that about my own father. Who loved me. Who took us to the house of God when I was a little boy. It's no mistake. And it's not beyond imagination that I do what I do today. I think of the passage of Scripture in the book of Genesis 18:19, where God said, "I know him," that is Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." You better take time for him today, Dad, and train up that child in the way he shall go. They don't grow up by accident to become who they are. And tomorrow may be too late. Would you become the role model that you want your children to be? By giving your life to Christ, forsaking the ways of the world, and putting God first in all that you do. For when you do that, your children see it. And they see it when you don't. Maybe as a father, your children know that you have failed them. Because your emphasis on life and living has not been that of Jesus Christ and his church, but things of lesser worth. And as long as we breathe and as long as our heart beats upon this earth, it's never too late to change. And just maybe there's some changes that you need to make today. Many young people will be lost because of lost, unrepentant fathers who failed to set the proper example before their children. You see, the father should be the heart of God. Think about it as we sing this song together. Let us stand.